Now we got the guy. What's your name?
Michael Batazis. I'm from the north side of Chicago. I played football at Sullivan High School.
Well, Mike, you could have gotten yourself hurt jumping down like that.
I played defense, offense. I got great hands. I played football my whole life. I love it, baby.
You got a little Monday Night Football history, too.
Oh, yes.
Let's go back to the game, man.
Sensible, adjective, having, using, or showing good sense or sound judgment.
What's up, sensible fuckers? It's season two.
I was chained to a toilet.
Oh, I drink beer.
I threw my boyfriend's decapitated head out the window.
Shut up! Shut up!
Mandy drinks from a bidet.
I got nice nips.
Totally sensible.
Sensible people.
What's up, Sensible Nation? Welcome to another edition of Sensible People. We've got a fun show planned for you. Raw Dog Ryan, what's up, my man?
What's up, Sensible Singles?
Mandy Joyce Tilly Mitchell B.
Oh, you. Hi, everyone.
The mandolin, everybody.
Guys, what are we at? Episode, season two, episode
36, baby.
She knew it?
Well, that's 36 overall. That's correct. What episode in season two are we in?
I don't know.
Oh, 13, baby.
Hey, can you, like, shut up?
She's actually speaking clearly. Before, usually to interpret her messages, we had to, like, she speaks in crypto.
Your
new nickname is the Crypt Keeper.
She does. She sends us cryptic text messages.
Yeah.
Right.
Or anytime we need to split a cost, she only sends cryptocurrency.
Yep, that's
Bitcoin,
right.
Bitcoin, baby.
Yeah. Mandy Crypto B.
Every time we're in the group text with Mandy, us three, I feel like, you know, Tay and I are starring alongside Nicolas Cage in the next National Treasure.
Yeah, it's a puzzle.
We're just
trying to figure out
piece.
What she's saying.
Well, you figured it out so far.
Yeah, we're starting to get it.
Yeah.
You know what I was listening to on the way to the studio today? Night at the Roxbury soundtrack. What is love? Have you heard this?
Dude, one of the best soundtracks of all time.
It's honestly, I just, what was the one that triggered it for me? It was Be My Lover.
Yeah.
Won't be right? My lover,
yeah.
Won't you be my lover?
So fucking good. And then I had to put, I have the entire soundtrack downloaded to my phone. Like in my iTunes,
yeah,
whatever, because
yeah.
I had the soundtrack back in the day.
That movie I used to watch on repeat.
It's phenomenal.
So good.
Nothing will get you more pumped up than listening to
that. All right,
thing.
Let me ask you. I don't know if Mandy can, if she'll get this, but I think the two best soundtracks ever of all time are Night at the Roxbury and the Space Jam soundtrack. Everybody get up.
It's time to slam now. Oh, those
what would you, on a desert island, you had to pick one, what would you take?
That's pretty good.
Night at the Roxbury, only because
you'd be dancing in the sand by yourself as the sun sets.
Yeah, I feel like people overdid Space Jam.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
In what way? It was just like...
Like, it wasn't that amazing. Night at the Roxbury is so much better.
Okay, it made me grab a basketball at dusk and just shoot hoops as the sun went
down.
Thinking
it gave me hope that I could one day dunk from the free throw
line. I could be
line.
The white boy from Antioch and it'd be my ticket out to go play in the NBA.
Not I.
I would go Roxbury as well.
Yeah.
It's just the beats are unbelievable.
It is. It's good late night. It's good early evening. Whenever you put it on.
Raw Dog, the Super Bowl is over, but guess what?
What?
There is still money to be made on Thrive Fantasy.
Big money.
Yeah, guys, Thrive Fantasy. It's a new app. We've mentioned it in a couple past episodes. It's a fantasy sports app, prop-based. Lots of money to be made out there the NBA now that football's over.
Yeah.
And then MLB obviously is coming up, and they have a couple other sports, but shit. Have some fun with it. You get a free $10 if you go to our website. You click on the sponsors tab, use our link. You'll get $10 on your first deposit.
Yeah.
Win a couple thousand. We've seen wins.
What's nice, guys, if you're the type that only plays fantasy sports like for football, which is most of us, you know, obviously football's once a week, but as Tay mentioned, they have NBA. They're going to have MLB coming up soon. You guys know those games are played daily, so you can play a lot more than just once a week on Sundays.
And this shit's different than the FanDuel or the DraftKings.
Yeah.
It's a cool spin on it. So check it out. Visit sensiblepeoplepodcast.com, sponsors link, or sponsors tab, rather, and then click on our link to sign up and deposit.
Try something new in your lives.
Try something new.
It's 2019.
Like
it's a new year, and it's
new
a new
me.
You.
A couple episodes ago, we got some hate mail for some of the comments that I said during our little discussion about the big ladies at the grocery store with the mustaches.
Yeah.
The hate mail we're not going to talk about because it's in the past. It was fun. We posted it. We made a donation
on their
behalf.
And fuck you.
Yeah. And if you don't like the comedy, don't listen.
Yeah.
These fucking sensitive people. It's unbelievable in 2019 what we have to deal with. But anyways, I wanted to talk about more big ladies.
Me, I love talking
so
about
there's
them.
This one girl. And that, no names or anything, but there is a girl that I know. And man, is she a wild boar. She is a big one. And I'm talking...
Like not just a belly, just big
she's
everywhere?
She's probably like 320.
That's a huge bitch.
Big so everywhere.
Start with that. Big girl. Big girl. Yeah. Big girl. Big girl.
Yeah.
Unhealthy.
And she's always like sick. Here's the thing.
Does she have like big old ham hock titties though?
Dude, I don't even know if a typical low-life individual like you would dabble.
I know, but she's got to have big old, like, just fat woman cans.
Yeah, I suppose. They're kind of just buried because she's got so many rolls, man. But here's what I'm getting at. So she's always sick, right?
Yeah.
And I'm always thinking, like, yeah, because you don't take care of yourself, whatever. You're very unhealthy. The other day at work, crushed a Crave case from White Castle.
Oh my God.
Just crushed it by herself. Then 3 o'clock, she had to go home because she felt sick. Yeah. You think?
Wait, hold on. Is she the type, did she crush the Crave case and was drinking a Diet Coke?
Because I think she had a Slurpee.
I swear. I feel like the big people, they get all the fast food, then they get the diet soda.
You wash it down with the big gulp.
Yeah. No, honestly, yeah. I do that. I'm a weirdo.
Oh, what? Because it's
oh,
zero
we were
calories?
Talking about you.
Yeah. No, I have to get the Diet Coke with everything. It's something weird.
Welcome to the show, Joyce.
Ask for time.
She didn't have the mustache, but she has like shoulder hair.
Oh.
And
well, a lot of big ladies have the hair on their gobbler. You ever notice that?
Their turkey gobbler.
Wait, how long does that take you to eat 30? That's 30, right?
Yeah.
How
what
long
is
does
crave?
That take you? I think it's 30.
Don't act like you don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's 30 or 50.
How long did it take you?
It might be 2 days. It's 30 or 50.
It's a lot. Well, look, what's a fucking Crave case? Look it up. Yeah. Well, he's looking this up. So... let me just ask you quickly. You mentioned the gobbler. Have you ever snapped one of their gobblers?
Like
you just grab it. You just grab it and you
Are
pull
you
it.
Are you just snapping, snapping gobbler? Go! Do you still?
You can do it all by yourself. Like you pull it and snap
snapping
it back?
Snapping gobbler Saturday.
Yeah, it's 30. She acted like she didn't know.
Yeah,
it's 30.
It is 30.
30?
My
White Castle? Oh, you know how sick I would feel?
All right.
I make my lunch last night for hours throughout the day.
I was talking to Ryan.
God damn it.
So she has the shoulder hair, but the other thing, she's got these fucking, you know, women like in the 90s wear shoulder pads.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those shirts that are like puffy.
Yeah. She has those, but they're so big because she's big. So she's got that and like the extended like Bill Romanowski.
She's
neck
got the
roll.
Cowboy collar. That's when she comes to work.
Yeah. Wait, a cowboy collar?
It's like football players wear it. Like, yeah. It comes up out of their shoulder pads.
We'll show you a picture of Bill Romanowski after.
I always wondered, ever since I was little, though, you talk about big ladies. Do you ever wonder, like, how really big people truly fit on a toilet seat, though?
Yeah, I mean, it is.
I mean, seriously,
it's one of
though.
The things I think about during the day.
No, we're all normal-sized people for the most part. Literally, you see some people with, like, an ass as wide as my arms are spread right now. How do they fit on the toilet seat?
I think that all the time. Like, planes, too, movie theaters. It's, like, it must be so uncomfortable for them.
Completely.
It just sucks.
Yeah.
There was this chick I used to work with, my first job ever. We called her, my buddy Ricky and I called her Wide Load. She had like the most normal body, like normal legs, normal arms, like abdomen, everything. Face was skinny. And then these hips and ass that were like a 2x4, like just like an 18-wheeler. It was unbelievable. She got stuck in a door.
Oh
in a door frame at work.
Is she good looking?
Yeah. She
That's
was older.
Sad.
She was probably
girl.
In her 60s. But yeah, she was actually a good looking woman too.
You don't need to tell me she's in her 60s. I asked, is she good looking?
Yes.
Okay.
It sounds like she was good looking for a woman in her 60s.
Yeah, good looking for a woman in her 60s. Was
but
definitely
just
but,
a wagon?
Yeah. She got stuck in the door frame.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was bad.
They had to
get a tow truck.
Oh my God.
All right. We'll have some more hate mail for that one, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Guys, lady at work sent me this because she knows, you know, we do the podcast. She's like, you guys got to read this. You got to check this out. And see.
Lady at work? Is that like
that's her code
M. Night Shyamalan's Lady in the Water?
Lady at work. No, so she sends me this article. I'm pulling it up right now. It's from this like clothing company that the advertisement or whatever is a picture of this young, very attractive woman wearing her bikini bottoms and a bikini top, but it's not your traditional bikini top. It's like a t-shirt, half shirt, whatever. But the bikini bottoms are very, what would you say, Mandy? Skinny on the bottom? Is that how you would describe it? Very revealing.
There's like no material.
There's like no material. So what was funny about it is she's like, you got to read the comments. So I showed Tay and Mandy and we kind of sifted through some of, there's 180,000 comments.
We're going to read them all.
We're going to read, but we sifted through some just so you guys can get the idea of what some of these, they're mostly all women commenting on here. And here's a couple comments. I've had 5 kids. My lady cake looks like a cake after a 1-year-old cake smash. Hashtag wouldn't eat it. Ladies, as we start our final descent, please make sure all inner labia are secure in their full upright and locked position. Make sure your bikini is securely fastened. And all outer labia should be safely stowed underneath the bikini in front of you. It's beginning to look a lot like Clitmas. Good God, this would make my vagina look like a porcupine stuck under a floorboard. It's like Bird Box for your vagina. What about, this is what I wanted to ask Mandy about this next comment. What about for ladies with gunts? Do you think she mistyped? No, she, what's a gunt?
Oh, you don't know what a gunt is?
Is it just like a beat up fucking?
No. You're going to learn.
What is it?
The gunt is, you know what a fupa is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is the male when they've got like the big pouch, right?
Yeah. Because
they're so fat.
The fat upper
the
pussy
gunt
area.
Is when a female has that. It's when your gut and your cunt mold together and just become one, God. And it's a gunt.
Oh, so what does it say? What about for ladies with guns? Well, yeah. Oh, okay, got it.
Just a couple more. I remember an ex telling me that guys refer to girls with big labia as them having a lot of cash hanging out of the wallet. I'm so fucking rich compared to this poor girl. So fucking wealthy.
I have never heard that term
never
in
heard
my
that
life.
Either.
That looks like a Rolls. This one's one of my favorite. That looks like a Rolls Royce vagina. Got anything to suit a Suzuki Swift? In the last one, if she queefed, it would sound like when you... Oh, my God. This is so
funny to me.
If she queefed, it would sound like when you used to put a piece of grass between your fingers and thumbs and blow through it. I used to do that in the summertime.
That's pretty good.
So, Mandy, my question to you is...
Yeah.
I didn't realize there were all these nicknames for your guys' pussy. Is that in the circle of women, of your friends, you guys... joke and laugh about pussy names?
Dude, we talk about our vaginas all day, every single day.
Would you say you talk about more vagina or more dick?
It depends on if the dick is good at the time being.
Well, so
which in,
if it's bad, you don't talk about it? That's good to know.
No, of course we talk
if
about
it's like
it.
If it's like a complete
bad.
Captain Hook, you just can't keep quiet.
No, honestly, us girls, I think, are way worse than you guys.
You think?
Oh, yeah, right. Dude, we talk about everything.
You're opening the door. I'm going to keep asking. Would girls be more prone to ask about a bad lay or a good lay?
I mean, both. We want to hear about every single part of it.
Yeah.
I want to hear, what...
But would you, the next morning, whether it was good or bad, would you be more, not excited, but more willing to tell your friends to say how bad it was or how good it was? What I'm trying to say is if I'm bad, does it just get swept under the rug?
No, it does not. It does not get swept under the rug. But yeah, dude, you want to talk more about a good time, obviously.
Right.
But that's like bragging because nowadays no one knows how to give you a good time.
Yeah.
No one.
So you haven't been doing much talking.
No. Well, maybe in the other way I've been doing a lot of talking.
All right. What are some of the nicknames in your circle?
We don't know. We're not big like nicknamers.
No.
No.
I mean, the only thing...
This isn't really a nickname. This is just us being open about everything.
Open about your vagina.
Yeah.
I just find it curious how you say vagina. You
vagina?
Pronounce it with like an F.
Vagina, yeah.
Vagina.
Vagina.
Yeah.
Vagina.
There you go.
I just
like
to say pussy and cunt.
I guess we say like vag. I don't know
can
what
I just
we
say. Cunt?
Yeah.
I mean, the only nicknames I know of it, we say like, you know, beef curtains or a good Italian beef or like I know.
Yeah, but I'm not calling my friends like, I got to tell you about my beef curtains.
Yeah, your beef.
I got to tell you all about my.
But in our group text chain, we say like a really good pussy is a split baked potato.
Really?
So picture, you know, a baked potato coming out of the oven and you just take the one knife mark to split it in half. Because it's just so tight and clean. There's no loose lips hanging everywhere. It's just
I'm
a
more
tight,
into the mashed
potato.
Sweet potatoes.
And the twice baked
You're
potato.
Like a spaghetti squash guy. Or acorn nuts.
We were actually just talking about how it's like so weird how some dudes like really want to be a gynecologist.
Yeah.
Or like when I had to get my, I had to get felt up recently. And the guy was so awkward. He kept on like assuring me.
Like a doctor?
Yeah. And he kept on just assuring me like, I'm just doing this because I have to. I'm like, yeah, I know. That's
like,
why
I'm
here.
Don't say it. You're making it awkward by saying it.
And then he kept looking at the door behind him the whole time. And I was like, Like he was waiting for someone to walk in and catch him. Let me ask, are you a doctor?
Was this in a bar restroom? I'm a doctor.
Oh, it's okay. I'm a doctor.
No.
It was at
he
her
said
home
it
bar.
Was a free exam, so
anybody
I took
gets
advantage.
You at those tricks. Well, I didn't know this was going to turn into vagina monologues. The idea was just to say
you
that
started it.
Women like to talk about their cunts just like we like to talk about our packages.
That's right. There's actually, I know I've told you this before, but there's a book that I have at home that my dad gave me years ago called the Book of Sheer Manliness. I'll have to bring it in. We'll flip some pages over an episode. And I think they have names for both female and male parts.
Oh, cool.
So that could be a fun,
that'd be fun
little segment.
Hey, speaking of pussy, since we're on the subject.
Yeah.
Dude, so I work with middle-aged women most of the time besides Amber.
It's dangerous for you.
Yeah.
It is.
And the women.
Why so? And actually, I don't want to know why.
They might get their hearts broken.
You're the heartbreaker. Oh. He's the heartbreak kid.
He is.
Wait, who was just singing? And you guys say, I'm the singer. I think Mandy likes to sing more than I do.
Maybe you're rubbing off on... Maybe that loogie you hawked in my hand...
Yeah, it's just rubbing off.
...transferred your powers into me.
All right, but anyway, so a couple months ago, we took like a staff photo, and our boss wasn't there. And I forget what the photo was for, but anyway, we have a designer. She's in her mid-50s, and you know, the normal 1, 2, 3, say cheese, right? We all do
whatever.
Right. So we're all in the group, and all of a sudden, the person taking the picture says, 1, 2, 3, and this middle-aged graphic designer woman blurts out, pussy. So
totally normal.
Think about that. That didn't even come from me. It came from her. And
is
we
that
all,
her type of personality? No. She's kind of rambunctious like that? No.
But like, she's just like, all of a sudden we start like looking around at each other, and we're like,
it's hilarious.
I don't want to say her name. We'll just call her Joan. We're like, Joan, what the fuck? Like, where'd that come from? She's picture. Like, what? That's what my dad told us to say when we were kids, when we take pictures. 1, 2, 3, say pussy.
And over your 60 years, you didn't pick up the thing to say?
She's so funny, though.
Not sensible.
The other day at work, she was talking about how back in the day, you know, she tried cocaine or whatever. So she's talking about, she's like, I tried cocaine. Doesn't do anything to me. So, and we have a TV on always at work. You knew that, Taylor, like the Today Show's on or whatever. So she's talking about, yeah, cocaine doesn't do anything to me. And literally, she can't even finish that sentence. She goes, oh, look, an alligator. And just points to a fucking alligator on the TV.
I mean, didn't they put Coke in the Coca-Cola when she was a kid?
That's what they say.
So
if you guys were unfamiliar with our hook, which is the audio clip that was played when this episode first started, we have, and we're so excited to have Michael Pantazis coming up in a couple minutes live on the show, interviewing him about The Catch. And if you guys don't know what The Catch is, in 1995 on Monday Night Football, the Chicago Bears were playing the Green Bay Packers at Soldier Field. Usually when the Bears are playing the Packers, the entertainment is on the field. But on this night in 1995, the main attraction came by surprise of a fan in the stadium. And this, Michael Pantazis jumped out of his seat and caught the extra point kicked by Kevin Butler and fell about 10 to 20 feet into the tunnel. It's remarkable. You guys are going to hear from him. You're going to hear how he made that catch, what he's up to now, and how he goes about living his life.
He's a Chicago sports fan legend.
He is. I like to call him a mythical creature. That's just right. Like the troll.
That's right. So I was browsing Craigslist the other day, and don't ask me why I was looking on Craigslist.
What were you looking for, buddy?
But I go on Craigslist once in a while. I sell things, buy things here and there.
You do?
Yeah. You don't?
You sell on Craigslist?
I have, yeah.
He's a mover and a shaker.
He sells his fucking belly button lint?
No, I sell, like, when I redid my kitchen, we sold our appliances.
On Craigslist?
Like, old appliances, yeah.
Why don't you use, like, some new, like, marketplace apps?
Like Facebook Market?
Yeah. Dude, no. Craigslist is like so 2005, isn't it, Mandy?
No, it's Craigslist
thrilling.
Is
the
awesome.
Craigslist
I like it. It's
right.
Interesting.
You gotta live
that
life
was
on the
honestly the last straw. Never on my page. I'm never siding with her ever
yeah,
again.
Yeah, you guys don't. She always sides with me.
No, truthfully, I'm done.
It's something
you're dead to me. You're seriously dead to me.
So, guys, I stumbled upon, Mandy will know since you've never been on Craigslist, you fucking weirdo, Ryan. But Mandy, do you remember the personals?
Absolutely.
That's where all the weird shit would be posted. People with sexual fetishes.
Of course she would remember.
I know.
course. Yeah.
The personal's dissolved like within the last year, and it's kind of like the weird shit's kind of been dispersed across different categories and links within Craigslist. And I found this on the community section, and I was cracking up because it's maybe something we can get Mandy to dabble in.
Oh, my God.
So I found what caught my attention was actually the subject line. Like food? Want to be paid to eat on camera? So I clicked it. Yeah. Like, just curious, you know, what the hell is this? Because it's fun to click on a bunch of this stuff. Hello. I'm looking for someone whom I can have an ongoing arrangement with, which pertains to the exploration of a mouth fascination I have. This is not to be of sexual nature by any means, and it's strictly to be between you and myself. What I'm looking to explore is pretty simple. Watching a woman eat, rather deliberately or casually. I find it fascinating how the mouth works, how it breaks down food, and how its role in the digestive process works. If you feel you have a nice mouth,
psycho,
and are open to a fun, playful, safe environment upon which it will be admired by a friendly and outgoing individual, then please respond with why you feel you'd be the right fit for this one.
She's perfect for it with her background, with the day dates and the
that's right.
But why people I feel pay awkward. Shit.
And then there's a bunch of cash signs.
But I feel awkward that he said it's not sexual for
right?
some reason.
Like, you would almost feel better that it was
but
sexual.
But actually, you know what, though? I don't know. Does she really have a nice mouth, though?
I don't know.
Wouldn't you like to know?
Would you consider yourself having yourself? Or have you ever been told that you have a very nice mouth?
I guess.
Well, her mouth
know.
Has a better sensible rating than her persona. Your mouth's a 4.5.
Well, does this entice you?
Absolutely.
Ad? You just
Save
sit
that.
There and eat like hoagies while this guy just watches you?
Screenshot hey, why don't it. We quit our jobs and just do this?
Right?
How much is he willing to pay?
It doesn't say.
Will he you pay have insurance?
You have to
401k?
Message him. And unfortunately, we'd call him with our Google number if he had a phone number attached, but it's all email.
I just want to call your buddy Goog.
Googly eyes.
All right. We got me one side job.
All
right. So what's the next
Second side job. Title, looking for pretty young actress to flirt with me in front of my wife.
Oh.
This is
now,
this guy has
You're
a location. The other one did not. This says it's in Naperville, Illinois. So this will sound weird, but maybe it's a girl thing. My wife and I have a decent relationship, but the sex love lacks until she thinks another girl wants me. Not sure why. So the gig is we go out and you're there. And if you could subtly flirt with me in front of her, don't worry, nothing else, and she's not going to crazily fight you like a psycho. If you could just flirt with me over the course of the night, then I will pay you $100. $100.
Just to
nothing
flirt
on
with
top.
Her.
Nothing over the top. Nothing on top of that. Just email me for details.
So just a flirt.
Mm, yeah.
But I feel like $100 isn't really worth
Mandy,
it.
Mandy, what's a flirt?
What's a good price for that?
Well, like, he doesn't know, though. His wife could get upset at me. You know, I'm putting myself a little at risk. And I have to drive
and
to
like,
Naperville.
Yeah, so let's decide like, what a good price is. What's your price?
For that kind of thing, let me get $180.
$180. And what's a flirt? Like, yes. How would you proceed with this?
I kind of over-flirt. Flirt okay. I'm known for over-flirting, so I don't
know.
Can
you grab on a flirt? Can you
like twerking on him?
No.
How about a pat on the butt? Is that a flirt?
No, I do the grab on the arm. I do the look in the eyes. Mm-hmm. I do the laugh. I'm good at believe
so
me.
So grabbing is more than a flirt.
Grabbing a butt?
Yeah, like
no a, girl grabs a guy's butt.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about like
oh,
or am I?
I don't know.
What?
If I'm flirting with, I'm just saying in general.
If you're flirting with me, you can grab my butt, but I'm not gonna grab this dude's butt. I'm gonna grab his.
That's what, I guess that's what I was getting at.
Yeah, I'm going to grab his forearm. Maybe, you know, you grab the sweater. Oh, this material. So
maybe
nice.
Like.
But a flirt coming from a guy in Mandy B's world is okay to grab your butt. That's what I'm getting at. That's what you just said.
That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, why?
I want to define flirt.
I guess, sure, yeah. What? No.
Well, you just
Please
said
don't
yes,
grab
sure.
my butt, guys.
Why is your listening comprehension so bad?
Have you seen my bed, Bob?
No.
Yeah.
She wants to flirt, so you're I just want to know what parameters are in it.
It's different. My
different,
flirting is different
for,
than guys grabbing
right,
me.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Next.
Sorry for fucking speaking, you fuck.
Now you know how it feels to be me.
Yeah. No, I don't.
And then the last one says,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Get paid to be murdered.
Done. And done.
Just kidding. Wait. That one is...
Wait, I thought about it for a
did
second.
Did not happen. Have you guys heard of this drug, Jankum?
Jankum?
One of our fans texted me, who I'm a friend with. They listened to the show. They texted me the other day. You guys have to bring up Jankum. It's right up your alley.
Jankum.
So I was like, what the fuck is Jankum? She's like, just look it up. So I looked it up. It's spelled J-E-N-K-E-M.
Okay.
And it's a drug. It's an inhalant, hallucinogen. And tell me, maybe the name doesn't ring a bell, but the way it's created does.
Okay.
It's created from fermented human waste.
Ah.
Have you heard of this shit?
What? Fermented yeah. human waste. No! No.
So in the mid-90s, I guess this got big in Africa. Down in Africa. In...
down the rains in Africa?
In Zambia, specifically, is where it was founded.
Okay.
And what these people do is... they put their shit and their urine in a jar, cover it with a balloon, and then let it ferment out in the hot sun. And then afterwards, like a couple of days, you release the balloon and you inhale the fumes. And I guess it's a strong-ass hallucinogen.
From feces.
From feces and urine.
Well,
yeah,
I changed fucking Jax's diaper and I don't get fucked up off of it.
Well, it's got to ferment in the sun.
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah. Not a scented diaper.
Mandy, you should change Tay's diaper and check it out.
Sure, anything for Tay.
So I looked up this drug. I guess, you know, it was big in Africa, but then it started coming to the States. And I guess it's still semi-prevalent.
Like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Florida, of course, Florida.
Down in
right?
Florida.
Of course. Yeah.
Florida, of all places, you know, no surprise. It's
stop it, it's, Florida. Stop
yeah,
it.
Middle schoolers, high schoolers are starting to get into this shit. Jankum. And
it's
I was
kind
just
of a cool name, too. It reminds me of Jenko jeans.
Right, right.
Ooh, which they stopped making, I think.
Please tell me you wore Jenkos.
Me?
Yes.
That's more of a boy jean.
I know, but I take you for a boy sometimes.
Same thing.
Joyce Taylor,
really?
Boy. What's the difference?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess these warnings are going out, but it's interesting. Look up the drug guys, Jankum online. You can read reports, watch videos. They call.
Give us a review.
This one cracked me up because I was watching like a YouTube video where it's like a news broadcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was laughing because the reporter just had a stoic, straight face when he called it by its street name, Butt Hash. I'm like, how did he not laugh his ass off when he's
butt
like,
hash?
These kids are doing butt hash.
Okay.
Too funny.
So I know you posted on our social media a couple weeks back. Dude, how about the fucking guy with the fucking horns?
Oh, my God.
Are they? Do you think those are real?
I don't know. Read the. You got the headline up?
Sex offender with horns in his head accused of trying to lure a child into his home. Doesn't sound creepy at all.
We posted this a few weeks back. Check it out. It's so funny. Where was this?
He's got really big Florida. Earlobes, too. No, Hesperia, California.
Okay.
Hesperia.
But he genuinely has horns. Did you see this man?
I know.
With those implants.
I think they're
remember
implants.
Remember that was like so hot?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, he's got like piercings too, I can see on his forehead.
He's
so.
Like the guy that turned himself into a tiger on Ripley's
the
lizard man.
Such a fuck.
Dude, those guys are
the
so.
The lizard man?
Yeah. Oh, typically I had no choice. It's something I fell into.
He's the lizard
dude,
man.
Dude, you had 45 surgeries to become a tiger.
So yeah. Weird.
You lived in the woods. Like, that's the same kind of thing. But do you remember, there's something, I think it was big over in Asia for a while, but it's very similar, where they would, like, swell their heads and then, like, make little, what's that called? You know what I'm talking about?
No, the only thing I know is where they stretch the necks with the rings on them.
No, I know that. But in Asia, they were doing these things where they would get, like, almost, is it called, like, it's not cupping. It's
it's not cupping.
I mean, like, I guess I know what you mean, but
they would have like it almost looked like donuts on their foreheads.
So
have
maybe
you seen
it is
that?
Cupping. Is it
no,
cupping?
No, that cupping thing is on your back to like relieve pressure or something.
No.
It's like
Or it's like with blood flow, right?
Yeah,
is that what cupping
but he's
is?
He's talking about like the facial
A facial.
Yeah.
He's talking
about that's just a facial.
It's just called bagel head. I just looked it up.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. It's a trend in Japan, or it was at least a few years ago. Bagel head saline forehead injections. We'll
Who
post some of these pictures too. You guys haven't seen these?
Oh, get that out of here. Get it out of here.
The like people
Oh my god. Dude, I remember you brought this up at work.
Yeah, years ago.
So wait, what is the point of that?
Oh!
I don't think by looking at these pictures there is a point.
I don't think there's
a
point. Dude,
what the fuck?
It looks like a bagel. So look that up too, people. Asian people donuts on forehead is what I searched. Asian.
Hey, so Tate, did you see there's something, it's going down in the Sensible People record books. Not a Hall of Famer, but it's just a first ever. Did you see what happened this past couple days?
No, I did not.
Mandy B, Mandolin, Mandy Joyce Tilly, Mitchell B, actually started a new document in our drive.
So a little background for those that don't know or haven't listened to all our episodes.
She had a thought.
We do like to give Mandy B a lot of shit because, well, how do I put
this? She deserves it.
She deserves it, for one. But number two, she is kind of just always behind as far as like building content and like, well,
being on time,
bringing ideas to the table. And she has this, you know, a flip phone from 83 that she's working off of, asking how she can access the content.
I had to get a ride here today.
Right.
So I pull up the content that we're working on for this episode before this morning's recording. And I'm like, who put this in here? And she goes, oh, I did.
It's the first document
she ever created.
I thought for sure there was no way in hell she was putting anything in there.
My jaw dropped.
Okay, you two
She's
actors.
She's a jaw dropper.
I had to be revived.
Okay. I did it. Well, revived. Like, am I going to have to be revived on the live show?
What do you mean?
So let's tell everybody about our live show. Live show coming up at the end of February. Specifics we can find on social media, guys. We're going to post those. So you can find all those specifics, times,
it's gonna be
ticket
awesome.
Prices.
It's going to be a blast. It's going to be amazing, but
so
I'm really nervous.
Why are you nervous?
I keep having like visions of I'm standing on stage, right, looking wonderful as normal. But then
we'll
I look up
judge.
And pig's blood is falling from the ceiling.
Think we would actually fucking hook up a fucking 5?
Of course.
10 5-gallon buckets of
pig's
blood.
That's like the least of my worries is pig blood.
What the? No. What else?
And if that was the case, we'd actually have boiling water up top and we'd drop it on you and just watch your skin melt.
That's a felony.
We don't care.
She's genuinely worried about that because she said, if we do the live show, you're not going to put fire ants on me. Like,
fire ants?
What the fuck? Where are you getting
like
these?
Like in a glass case and then there's
fire ants.
She's having PTSD from being our co-host.
Fucking fire
and it's only been 13 episodes.
What was the other thing? She's like, what were you saying?
I was just scared that you guys are going to sit me up stage and just fire fastballs in my eyes.
Throwing a fastball to the eye.
I picture us hooking her up in like a dunk tank and she just has her arms taped and there's nothing like in front of her face and we get to just whip fucking fastballs.
This is why I'm scared.
That's what I want.
That's a good idea. I like that idea. That's how our meetings go, content brainstorming. How can we abuse Mandy at the live show?
I'm constantly under attack.
So
come on.
Awesome.
If you want to send me messages of encouragement to get me through the live show, call our Google number at 414-858-7934. I need to hear from you, Sensible Nation.
Or if you have any better ideas for Raw Dog and I, better ideas than throwing fastballs at her like she thinks is going to happen.
Give us a text.
Just something more gentler.
Oh my God. Guys,
are you ready to interview the man?
Yeah, is he ready for us? Let's do it.
Michael Pantaz is coming up next, guys.
Well, I'll tell you, we've seen some great plays on the field tonight, but how you're going to see something off the field that's a classic here.
Follow the ball as it goes up the tunnel from the right side of your screen. Watch this fella jump out of the stands into the tunnel. He appears to be at least 10 feet off the ground, if not more.
This is a don't try this.
No, don't try this. Watch this. There he goes, off into space. He catches the ball, goes all the way down the tunnel. And folks, the guy's all right.
signed a 3-year deal with the Bears. Edgar Bennett picks up two. Jerry Jones just called and signed him.
This guy's back up in his seat. I would have thought he would have broken both his ankles. There he is.
Is he stoked?
This guy.
In more ways than one. He's looking for their Oprah Winfrey show.
Well, they're either going to give him a prize or they're throwing him out. He's got Swanee.
Swanee's got him.
He wants to go on.
I want airtime.
We can't talk to the players during the game.
Hey, Al, we got the guy. What's your name?
Michael Bantazis. I'm from the north side of Chicago. I played football at Sullivan High School.
Well, Mike, you could have gotten yourself hurt jumping down like that.
I play defense, offense. I got great hands. I play football my whole life. I love it, baby.
You got a little Monday Night Football history, too.
Oh, yes.
Let's go back to the game, man.
Sensible Nation, I can't even contain my excitement to have here on the show. And without further ado, I'd like to personally introduce the man, the myth, the legend, Michael Pantazis. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Welcome to Sensible People, my man.
Oh, man. It's a pleasure.
Well, I think we got you right at the right time. It's football season, Mike. I know we'll get into it later, but our very own Chicago Bears were, I guess, left the playoffs in a little disappointing fashion. But we'll get that into the interview. I know our fans are really excited to hear from you, what you've been up to lately. And me personally, I'm really excited to get into this and see what actually happened with the catch, what was involved, and quite frankly, what you've been up to lately. So, Mike, honestly, you're a local legend in the Ring of Friends just because of your persona, your catch, and just your legendary status of what you did as a fan at a professional football game. I want to know, what did you actually say to Lynn Swann before you went into or went onto the field for your interview?
What did I say to him? I just, you know, shook his hand, and I really didn't say much because I didn't get much time with him at the time.
Yeah.
Because it was just an interview that was, you know, spur of the moment. So I really didn't say much to him. But after, you know, I got his number, we looked up a couple times and talked, and he asked me what I was doing, and basically, before the interview, I really didn't get to talk to him much. Security was surrounding me real fast.
Yeah.
You just dove right into what you said on the nationally televised broadcast, right?
Yes.
Mike, with how strict everything is today with security in sports, do you think if you made that catch this season, do you think they would have brought you out onto the field and allowed you out there?
You know, I think so because I really didn't interfere with the game. You know, I was on the wall at the time of the catch.
Yeah.
And I didn't, you know, jump over any barriers or anything. I just jumped into the tunnel.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, at first they came around me and, you know, they wanted a ball. And I said, I just jumped 20 feet for this ball. I'm not giving it up.
Hell, you do that. Yeah.
And then right after that, Lynn Swann wanted to interview. And so that's how it all started. Then I was on with Weigel right after. And, you know, I was with my best friend and my wife and his wife. And, you know, my buddy's like, you're going to be on everything. And I'm like, I didn't realize. And then when we walked out, I was just on everything, all the sports stations. And when I saw it, I was like, wow. Well, you know, I didn't really realize what I did, you know, but until I seen it live, I was amazed.
Speaking of what you did, how did you make that catch?
Yeah, tell us.
How did you do it?
Tell
we
us
need
exactly
to know.
What happened. How did you do it?
Well, basically, you know, I'm an athlete. I've won 25 championships in softball. I was Northside runner-up football player of the year. I've been playing since I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, in high school, we used to have this thing in gym, you know, we made fun in gym class. So we were in the pool, and we just made up a game where we'd be on a diving board. We'd jump. Someone would throw me out of the pool. I'd catch it and go right into the water and hang on. And it's kind of how I practiced this, okay? So I was really, we were tough kids, you know, grew up in Chicago. But we made up games, and that was one of them. And I was jumping off the diving board up in the air, and we'd catch it and go down in the water and hang on. And it was kind of like that, you know?
Yeah.
So we did practice as kids, and we did a lot of cool stuff. But the time a catch like that and walk away, you know, you got to be tough. I mean, it's, you know, it looked a lot higher on TV than it really was.
Yeah, sure.
What was it?
Pretty high, but as I went down the tunnel, it was an incline, so you really couldn't see. But
what was it, about 10?
I did time it at the right time. It was on the wall, and one had tipped off my hands the week before, and I kind of hung jump. And I'm like,
oh, so you tried it before?
I kind of hung jump one time.
Okay.
See, you know?
Yeah.
But Butler was the only one who would make it over the net.
Yeah, yeah.
So I knew when he was up, I was already on the wall.
Well, like,
waiting.
I mean,
like, okay.
Just watching the replay of it, it's like you caught it at the perfect apex, too. It was like he threw you the fucking ball. It's not like you bobbled it or anything. I mean, even your haircut at the time probably helped you parachute down, right?
Yeah. I'm pretty much, you know, I played 25 years of softball. So when you play in the outfield in Chicago and they have the lights on, you kind of see it, then you're off the bat, then you lose it, it comes back. Same thing happened that night. I saw it, and then the lights kind of blurred me a little bit, and then I, boom.
And there it was. And,
well, but I timed it perfect. And, I don't recommend anybody try this. I mean, I've done a lot of stuff as a kid. But see, the whole story is I collect memorabilia. I got about 400 autographs, okay? So yep. We're at the game the week before, or 2 weeks before, and my best friend, we win a game signed ball. And we pull the tickets out, and he wins the ball. And I go, dude, you won the game ball, and I collect memorabilia. I'm getting the ball.
Yeah.
And that's what it led to me making this catch.
Well,
that's
hey, you,
really the story behind this.
That's awesome.
You had your sights on it, and you went and did it. So
if
you know
think
what?
It, it'll happen.
You. What's cool for us, Mike, obviously being a little younger than yourself, is, you know, with all the online social media, everything, a lot of things go viral now, quote unquote. But at 1995, when you did this, you know, I mean, there was internet, but not as big as it was today. You went viral.
He did.
For
you,
what it's
before
worth.
Social media.
Before social
now, you know.
Media.
Yeah. You sure did. Yes, it was. And it's still, you know, the other day someone put up a story, the catch on NFL Vines, and it's got 300,000 hits already, so it's probably going to go viral.
That's right.
Wow.
But, you know, a lot of people didn't realize. It's amazing just, you know, how it all explodes. And I've been so blessed, man, with everything from David Letterman, you know, 4 or 5 commercials and so many talk shows.
Yeah.
And Oprah. And I've done a lot of stuff. And I mean, I'm 21 most memorable moments of Monday Night History. I'm number 21 out of 37.
That's so awesome.
I got an ESPY award. I got an ESPY.
That's right. You got the ESPY.
That's so
I'm
awesome.
Top ESPY. I think I'm the top 10 winner, too. I'm a top 5 catches of all time on ESPN.
That's
a lot of people named me 1. People named me 2. But so I've had a lot of airplay. And I'm so blessed. And every day I just say thank you. I've got another thing that's really cool that you guys can promote. It's called Off into Space. It's a documentary on my life and the catch, okay?
Yeah.
It's on Vimeo. And what happened was, so a guy I met while I was working, you know, said, hey, you want to do a doc? And I said, no problem. So we did this documentary, and we made it in like 3 days. It's really cool. You guys got to watch it. So anyway, I go into an international film festival, Midwest, and there's 200 films, and I come in second. I lose
wow.
the film made by ESPN for $100,000, okay? When they watch my film, because they all sit there and watch them, they were just cracking up. So then they put me in for the year, 2,400 films. I come in third.
Oh my.
So now I've been working on some other things where maybe I can get a couple, you know, you never know. Whatever people call me to do, I'll do it. So
awesome.
So where can we watch this
you
film?
You never know. It's been blessed. Pardon me?
Where can we watch this film at, Mike?
Oh, it's on Vimeo.
Vimeo, okay.
Off in the Space, a guy named Mike.
Tell. Feel free to tell our listeners, guys. Fucking watch the video. That's what he's trying to say, all right? He's a
it's
legend.
Awesome, guys. You guys are left. Now, a lot of the stuff that they put on there, you know, they gave me a script. So some things they beefed up so people would watch it. That I said I could play in the NFL now and some things like that. But, you know, it's down to earth. And
yeah.
It's funny, though. You'll laugh. They made it funny so people would watch it. And,
that's,
but it really is
that's
really
so awesome.
A good little doc, 7-minute doc.
You guys heard it here first. Off into Space, it's called, right, Mike?
Off into Space, a guy named Mike.
That's awesome. So let's circle back a little bit to the catch, because we got a couple more questions regarding the catch itself.
Yes.
The folks that were with you, you were in a pretty big group, right? Or a few friends at least?
Yeah, it was my wife and then there's some people around us, because those were our season tickets, so we knew a lot of people.
Okay. Did the folks around you know, amazed, you know that you were about to launch?
Launch, keyword
you know,
launch.
Not really, no. No, because, you know, it's just I was on the wall, you know, had a few beers in us, and...
Hey, Mike, let's be honest. Do our wives ever really know when we're just going to go do something? I don't think so.
We don't know what we're going to do.
I'm just trying to picture myself if I was with a bunch of buddies and I had no idea. I'm like, what the hell is this guy doing if he just launches into the tunnel? But that's what made it epic, I suppose.
Yes, it did.
So, you know, you talked a little bit about how this has been ranked up with the greatest of catches. In my book, this is number one all time, just because of the historical significance.
Know, a lot of people do say that, but you know how ESPN, sometimes they don't want to promote it, which is fine. You know, I'm good with it. But
right.
When you look at it, you know, I don't think anybody's ever going to make that catch in a lifetime, guys. It was amazing, and I didn't, you know, like I said, I didn't realize what I did until I saw it on the news, and I was like,
Mike, I put it above like Odell Beckham Jr.'s catch like a couple years ago. I mean seriously, we're talking about, you know, a guy in the stands jumping out into the tunnel catching a perfectly, you timed it perfect. But
let me ask you a question. Did after the catch, and you know, you were on Letterman and doing the whole tour and shebang, did you end up seeing people around the Chicagoland area with your name on their backs or anything? Did merch sell?
Not really, but a lot of people would come up to me, and like I went to the Cubs game, they had me on TV.
Yeah.
Everywhere I went, it was like, you know, he's here tonight, you know, but a lot of people just bought me drinks, and, you know, and wanted autographs and different things like that, and signed balls, and you know, I'd sign their stuff. And I've sent some, like I said, I'm going to send you guys a couple autographs, or to sign autographs for you guys, okay? Because a lot of people ask for them. You know, I never really sold them, which I probably should, but I just give them away, you know, to people. And because Mike, I'm blessed.
Mike, outside the actual catch, I mean, do you put this in, I mean, just pure greatest fan moments in the history of professional sports? Where do you think you rank in that? What, I mean, I can't think of any other fan moment that could top it.
Yeah, you know, not too many, man. Not too many that's going to match that.
Yeah.
You know, I remember back then the Yankee kid tried to steal the ball from me, you know, the home run ball when he was younger. But there hasn't really been anything that could top this, you know, not really anything that I can think of. But I'm up there. I'm in the top 10 for sure.
So, Mike,
you never know. People have different reviews.
What really drew interest for me specifically with you is like I was telling you, is the catch. And just, I mean, clearly I don't know you, but your personality that you portrayed like in the interview on the field at halftime. And just to kind of circle back, your interview with Lynn Swann on the field, it's like, you know, you just made this unbelievable catch. You fell. You weren't even phased. I could tell you were amped up. And my favorite part is you speaking of you giving the line of, I'm Michael Pantazis. I'm from the north side of Chicago. I played football at Sullivan High School. I played defense, offense. I got great hands. I played football my whole life. I love it, baby. That line is great. And I think, can you repeat that and give our listeners just a now in 2019, that line?
19 shot, yeah. Hi, I'm Mike Pantazis. I'm from Chicago. Played offense and defense. I got great hands, and I've played football my whole life. I love it, baby.
Love it.
Awesome.
I picture the ponytail right now flapping in the breeze, Mike.
But I was really, people don't realize, you know, I was a pretty good player. I had a great shot to goal, but, you know, my dad had passed away when I was younger, so I kind of had to help my mom. And, I mean, I was running up Northside football for a year. I had 100 tackles in a year, 16 sacks. When I was a kid, I won, you know, coach's award. I was top sophomore in Northside.
Oh my God.
You whooped some ass, man.
You know, and now I coach football for about 7 years, and the kids just love me. I got kids playing all over at Loyola and Notre Dame and some of the city schools. And then I do basketball now. So it's all, you know.
You're inspiring a lot of people.
It's all full circle for you.
Yeah.
Yes. And when I played football, I loved it, okay? I was a machine. I could scout. I was a machine. I could do everything. I was like a coach on the field. You know, they just had a reunion for the Sullivan High School team. And, man, the coach gave me a 10-minute speech.
Oh.
And I was crying. I was just, you know, it really made me tears. Holly said just I was a great player. And then, you know, we won a lot of games because I'm like, I'm tearing up right now a little bit because it just made me, you know, all the teams are there. And then he sits there and talks about me for 10 minutes. But I had some great coaches. But now what I do is when I coach, I think I love it more than playing. I just want to help kids and turn them into great players and watch them go on to college. And I got 3 boys now that play, and they're beasts. I got a 10, 13, and 14-year-old.
Oh, cool.
One goes to Notre Dame, and both of them are in grade school. But they've been playing football since they were 6 and a half, and they're really good. And they play basketball. So I've been coaching basketball more now.
It's cool how passionate.
Giving back, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
giving back to the kids.
It's cool how passionate we can really tell where you're coming from.
It's touching.
Yeah, I take pride in everything I do, and I own a snow plowing business, you know, MP Snow Plowing Service, and I'm.
That's right. Anybody in the Chicagoland? What's it called? MP Snow Plowing.
MP Snow Plowing Service.
Use it, Sensible Nation.
I've been doing that for about 20 years, and then I do. I'm a tech for Ecotech Pest Control, one of the techs. I do real well there.
Nice.
So, Mike, after...
And then I do other things, too. I'm a hustler.
After the catch, you obviously leveraged, you know, that moment, that moment of fame to do a bunch of other opportunities. You mentioned the documentary. You mentioned the tour with Letterman. You know, what was your favorite thing on that, you know, kind of promotional fame tour, that if you call it that, that you enjoyed the most?
The Letterman was definitely a good one. But, you know, to be named 37 Most Memorable Moments of Monday Night History, and it was number 21. And when they shot the shoot, I was downtown, and McMahon was in before me, and Daryl Stingley was after me. And everybody got, like, a minute of time.
Yeah.
Me and Stingley got 5 minutes, because I was just pretty good in front of the camera, and, you know, they really liked my story. And then what they do is they kind of ask you these questions 3 or 4 times, and then they create this skit, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But that was the top one there, 31 Most Memorable. The ESPYs was, you know, a dream to go there and meet all these people and, you know, beyond the ESPYs. No, I still have that ESPY at home. And so the ESPYs, Letterman, and probably the, you know, 37 Moments of Monday Night History, you know?
Totally.
Probably my top three.
Mike, the night of the catch, what did you have? A couple drinks? What were you drinking?
Oh, yeah. Probably like a 12-pack.
Little liquid courage.
Yeah, Busch Light? Bud Light?
Busch Light. You know, it was probably Miller Light.
Yeah.
The main thing is, you know, I was 28 years old. And, you know, we go out drinking with the boys. I drink a case, man. You know, so a 12-pack
right.
is a lot of beer for me. But, no, I was a pretty big guy. And
yeah.
12-pack just gets you going, you know. We had a whole bunch of beers under the seat. Because at the games, you know, they stop selling after the third quarter. So you got to be ready, you know.
Totally
ready to pound them.
Machine on the field, machine at the bar.
Yeah.
We make our own little bar there.
That's right.
We didn't tailgate long before. We got there about 6:30. So we had a good time, you know, and it was a nice night. Because what we used to do is we'd go to the good early games, and then we'd pick the favorite games, and then we'd probably just give some of our friends the other games that we didn't want to
play. Right, right.
Sometimes it gets cold out there, but we did a lot. But I've been to 4 games this year. I mean, so many people call me now to go to the games and be with them, which I go, you know. But, and the Bears are looking good, you know. I'm very proud of this.
Hey,
management up there, what they're doing.
Mike, tell our listeners, one thing I am disappointed in you is I have seen from pictures is that the haircut's gone. So tell us, when did you get rid of the legendary haircut along with the catch? 10 years?
You know, I think it was like maybe about 5-6 years after the catch, I kind of just snipped it off.
Once the 90s expired.
And, Mike wanted to stay with the style.
You know, that haircut, I hate to say it, before I met my wife.
Do you think you'd ever bring it back?
Yeah.
Do you think you'd ever bring the haircut back?
You know, I was thinking about it. I was really thinking about
For old time's sake.
Hey, I did also want to ask, I know you mentioned you were married at the time and you had a wife, but to clean this up, I guess
that was
a little.
That year we got married that year. We got married in May that year, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Did, after you made the catch and you did the celebrity tour and everything and people knew who you were, did women present themselves to you as you were
this new? Yeah, were the ladies all over you?
Famous Chicagoland guy?
Somewhere. There was some things coming to me, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, a lot of things in the media, you know, you can't believe everything you read because they beef it up so everybody will read it. You know what I mean? Like the front page of the paper said, Mike's looking for some friends benefits. Girls got to like guys to take chances.
Yeah.
I never said that.
Right.
And I said, babe, this is the first thing. We just got married 4 months ago. And I'm like, I got a beautiful wife. And I'm like, well, this is what you're going to read today.
Yeah, that's a shame.
So, you know, it was tough. But, you know, it's all in fun. And people, you know, you got to... So when you read things about other people in the world and people that are famous, see, I know right away because some of the stuff is not true. They beef it up, so we'll read it.
Of course.
Mike, if you ever get in a, you know, small argument with your wife, let's say, do you just play the video for her of you? Because that's what I would do.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
This is who you fell in love with, baby.
a peer legend.
Yeah, this is it. Here's your guy.
You're like a mythical creature.
I was just a, you know, outgoing, nice guy. But I was a tough kid, and I'm not going to say I wasn't. You know?
Yeah.
I was.
It's what shaped you of who you are now.
Pardon me?
I said, like, your upbringing, it's what shaped you, what you are now, right?
My brother was tough on me and taught me a lot, and my sisters, and, you know, like I said, my dad died when I was 13. He had multiple sclerosis, and so, you know, my dad never seen me play. It was really... So now I do everything with my kids.
That's awesome.
Everything they do, I coach them, because I didn't get that, you know, but my brothers were there and my sisters and my mom and, you know, so, but it's just, you know, a thing that happened in life. And my dad was a professional fighter. He was a, you know, 50 knockouts, 100 fights, 50 knockouts.
Oh, no shit.
Professional fighter. Yeah.
Awesome.
So, yeah, you know, and my brother was a great athlete. And, you know, when your mom's got to work to raise five kids.
Yeah, that's tough.
I kind of was with my brothers and sisters, you know, a lot. And
yep.
So I got friends from all ages, and they were all like my brothers and sisters, you know, so they really molded me into a good kid, and I think I turned out pretty good.
Yeah. Where in about North Chicago are you from? I'm curious.
The Rogers Park I'm from. Rogers
Park. Oh, okay.
So yeah. Right on the end next to Evanston.
My dad grew up, my old man grew up on the south or the north side of Chicago. He went to St. Ignatius and then Gordon Tech.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yep.
Right there on the north side.
Yeah, that's right. So obviously you mentioned the Bears. You're a big Bears fan. You like the outlook for these coming seasons. How'd you feel about the ending? It was pretty rough on us all, right?
Yeah.
The double doink.
Yeah, it was rough. You know, the kicker, you know how hard it is to kick a 40-yard field goal? It's not easy.
Well, the Goose Island just did that a couple, I don't know if you saw it on the news, they did it, what, a week or two ago where they had like, you know, 40 people come out or 100 people try to kick the 40-yarder. Nobody could do it. Nobody made it.
No, it's very tough and in that pressured situation, you know, we have trouble with our kids shooting free throws because the pressure's on. You got to hit these free throws. The same thing at that time. You know, another thing that Butler used to do, he would go practice at Soldiers Field.
Yeah.
So that's the key. You got to learn the winds there. So they practice with the winds and the, you know, the snow and off-licks or dry.
Yeah.
So you would know how to kick there, you know, and Parkey so really didn't do
in
that.
In the elements.
Sure.
Yeah.
So make
whoever
the kick, Cody Parkey.
You know, because it's tough at the rig. I mean, it's tough at Soldiers. There's a lot of, you know, wind and different things and variable things that happen. And
Mike, how'd
so
you?
We're going to be all right. I mean, for 1 year, you know, we didn't expect to go that far. And they have a good shot. They should be in this game right now today.
I know. It's a shame.
We're on the up and up, though, right?
It happened.
Yeah. Mike, I got one last question for you. And I don't know if anybody's ever asked you this. Is there anything in the works and in your mind from Michael Pantazis to top the 1995 catch, whether it be at the NBA game, a baseball game, another football game, hockey game, whatever. Is there anything else going
on? Or have you ever even thought about it? I got to top what I did already.
You know, I really haven't thought about it. You know, I do. I have stacks of tickets from basketball, football. So, you know, that wasn't the first time I caught a ball. You know, I was at a concert at Rod Stewart. And he kicked soccer balls in the crowd.
No kidding.
You caught one of the soccer balls?
So I do a lot of that stuff. Another one I did was I was at David Copperfield in Vegas. And he kicked balls out. I caught one there. Whoever caught a ball.
You're like a magnet.
Yeah, you're a machine.
Why don't you just suit up right now and just do goal line plays and we'll throw you as a tight end for the Bears. We'll just throw you goal line touchdowns.
Yeah, I probably could do it.
I caught one at the
David Copperfield. So this is years ago, and then I was on the whoever caught the ball has got to go in the illusion. He'd make you disappear. It was really cool. That's another one.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was another one. And then another one I caught. I was at a game. I was at a Sox game, and it's late in the season. I take the kids. You know, there's no one in left field. Konerko hits a line drive, and I'm sitting left about 20 rows up, and I run about 40 feet, okay? And I'm right under it. Hits my hands. A fan from behind pushed me over the seat.
Oh,
fucking assholes.
But, man, I was so mad. They kicked him out. The police kicked him out. But, man, a rocket liner from Konerko. Because I played left field, so I was like, boom, I just got up.
Instinct.
Instinct, yeah. So I've done a lot of things with balls and different things, but I haven't been planning to do anything else. My wife's like, you're done, right?
Maybe one of the kids will follow in his path.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, yeah, one of your kids.
Yeah, they know. They're really good athletes, and we're training them so they get their college degrees and hopefully go to, you know, D1, D2, D3 school, whatever they get. But they work hard, and we train them a lot. And they've been I spent a lot of money on camps. And like I said, I coached 3 AYU teams for the Olympia Park Spartans. Our 7th grade team's 15-0, our 6th grade team's 6-2, and our 8th grade team's 10-4. So we got some good squads, and we play people from all over the city. We go to a lot of tournaments. We practice 4 or 5 days a week. So I've been doing a lot of that.
You're like the Bill Belichick of the youth sports, Mike.
Yes.
Winning championships.
A little friendlier.
No one really likes the Patriots, but, you know, Belichick's a mastermind.
Oh, he is.
I mean, yeah, they cheated at this, whatever. You know, one thing about football is, see, I scout, okay? So when I coach football, I'd scout the other teams. I'd have a whole board out for the kids. So we knew everything they ran. We beat teams we never should have beat. But like I said, with now, even if they didn't film you, the NFL, they'd have five guys watching you, and they'd get all your plays and everything, and they'd still have it. So it's not really cheating. A lot of teams do that.
Right.
They get all your info, and then it's like a chess match.
Yeah.
You got to make sure you can change things up when they're doing their thing.
You're right.
Well, Mike, it's been a pleasure having you on, and I really appreciate the time that you gave us, learning about, obviously, the catch, but also your personal life, what kind of person you are. I don't know if that's ever came out, but, our listeners are going to be really excited to hear what you've been up to and how you made the catch. So,
and what's cool is that, most of our listeners are in the 20 to, 35 age range. So they were too young or, not even alive at the time of the catch. So it's cool to bring back those memories of such a historic moment. So we appreciate the time, Mike.
Oh, thank you very much, guys. You guys have a wonderful day. It was really nice chatting with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you too.
Take care.
You too. Cheers. If anybody asks you who I am, just stand up tall, look them in the face and say, I'm that star up in the sky. I'm that mountain peak up high. Hey, I made it. I'm the world's greatest. And I'm that little bit of hope. When my back's against the ropes, I can feel it. I'm the world's greatest.
You've heard it here, Sensible Nation. You've heard from the guy that made one of the greatest catch in NFL, yes, NFL history, and greatest fan moments in the history of professional sports. Michael Pantazis, it was great talking to him. Interesting dude, hearing from him, and even from his personal side.
Oh, yeah, really enjoyable time with Mike today.
He was a breath of fresh air to talk to him, wasn't it, Mandy?
It sure was.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, it was.
Little change up. We finally got at Sensible People on Twitter. We no longer have the fucking underscore.
Twitter?
Why?
Yeah. Do you ever?
We hunted down and scalped the person that had the at Sensible People. So now we are at Sensible People on Instagram and Twitter. Much easier to say for yours truly.
I've noticed a lot of old people say tweeter. You guys come across that?
Yeah, on that tweeter?
Yeah, that tweet. Hey, do you
that
tweeter?
Twit twat.
Nice twat. I'll see you on the twat.
And you can find us on YouTube as well, Sensible People Podcast.
Yes. Subscribe.
Subscribe.
On our website, you can find some merch.
Or wait, before that, though, you can also send hate mail on our website.
That's just true. Our contact form, as we received after a couple episodes.
Yes, buy some merch. As we always say, we've got T-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, coffee mugs, beach towels, phone cases, long sleeve shirts, crew necks, women's shirts. We got it all, Sensible Nation.
And are you getting nervous? Because I think next episode, the appeal might be occurring.
I'm not nervous because I'm going to fucking win.
So we are bringing the Viagra
back.
We're bringing Viagra back.
To the next episode. And depending on the outcome, you will either have to take it or, we'll have to swallow our pride and be disappointed.
No, or if I
have to take Viagra, I'll do the episode also with a T-shirt with coffee can size holes cut out of my nipples. So you just have to stare.
Don't know why you would do that as well, but
sounds like we're getting punished here too.
It's extra value.
We didn't order the extra value.
Hope you guys had fun on today's episode. We'll hear from you in a couple weeks.
Peace. Come down.